This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome
to My Favorite Murder,
the mini-sode. We read you your stories that you've so kindly written in to us.
We really appreciate your kindnesses.
Truly. They're abundant.
And you're about to hear about it.
You want to go first?
Sure. All right. The subject line of this email is, stay out of the forest, ... or don't.
Mm.
Hi, Karen, Georgia, and MFM crew. Longtime listener, first-time writer. I found you guys right at the beginning of quarantine when my med school decided to switch online and I had way too much time on my hands. True crime was the perfect distraction to training and working in a falling apart medical system during a global pandemic.
Mm.
But maybe I just enjoy being anxious. It is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Between working in healthcare and growing up in some rougher cities, I had a few different stories I considered telling you about. But today I'm going to tell you about the time I was a dumb middle schooler who was probably in more danger than she realized. Perfect.
Yeah, love it.
It was 2007 in Brampton, Ontario. It says Canada in parentheses.
We know where Ontario is.
We
don't know a lot of places, but we know.
That one we know.
Yeah.
It's a heavily populated suburb of Toronto, and I was 12. I got off my school bus and started my usual shortcut home, which included walking past a small plaza, then up an alley, which ended directly at my front door. However, on this afternoon, as I walked by the plaza, a drunk man started catcalling me. Sadly, thanks to our society, by 12, I was already pretty used to this and just quickened my pace, not thinking much of it, until the man started following me. He was pretty drunk and couldn't walk very quickly, and by the time I hit the alley, I knew he wasn't going to catch up with me before I got home. And then I realized the next problem. As I said before, the alley ends directly facing my front door, so even if I made it home safely, this creep was going to know where I lived, and I couldn't have that. So I did what any murderino middle schooler would do. I walked right past my house without a second glance. A few houses down the street, we have a park that backs onto a small forest. And since he was still following and shouting gross things at me, I figured the smart thing to do would be to lose him in the woods.
Oh, 12.
Just a bone-chilling kickoff to a story.
Oh.
I knew this forest like the back of my hand. It would be easy. And it was. I quickly lost him and I hightailed it home where I entered safely with no one stalking me. Later that night, I proudly told the story of my quick-wittedness to my horrified parents. Imagine my shock when instead of praise, I got yelled at for being dumb enough to go into the woods instead of just, I don't know, calling for help. And then it says, I did have a cell phone that I had fully forgotten about. Going into a local store for an adult's protection, anything besides going into the woods where there would be no witnesses. I don't know who my parents called, but the next week there was a security guard at the plaza and I luckily never had a repeat incident. Maybe going into the forest did save me that day, or maybe I got lucky. But next time, I'll just call 911. SSDGM, Sierra.
Wow. Yeah, like when you're panicked like that, you don't think straight, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like a great idea to run into the forest, but saying it sounds terrible.
You just want to fucking get away from a creep. Like,
totally.
A 12-year-old having to make those decisions on their feet is bullshit.
Yeah.
That sucks. And at least I love the idea that Sierra was like, I knew the forest like the back of my hand.
Totally.
So it's like, okay, well, yeah, you're not going into like a complete unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
whew,
fuck.
Man.
Fuck.
Man. That's how so many of our stories start, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay, this was called My Dad Was Questioned as a Unabomber Suspect.
Oh.
Hi, Murderino Squad. Love you all. And I've been binging the podcast from the beginning for the past 2 years after a good friend introduced me. Shout out to Laura. To help me get through the anxieties of life, especially in a pandemic. With the recent news of the Unabomber's passing, and then it says, sayonara, Satan, I knew I had a write-in to share this story. In June of 1993, I was about to turn 3 years old, and my family was about to move across country from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. The Unabomber had been terrorizing the country for many years at this point, but his most recent victim had been Charles Epstein, a well-known geneticist and my dad's boss at the time. Dr. Epstein had been sitting in his kitchen opening his mail when a bomb went off. Mm-hmm. It blew off three of his fingers, caused abdominal damage, and damaged both of his eardrums, causing partial hearing loss. This was terrifying for everyone who knew Charles. From what I've been told, he was a great man who spent his life doing groundbreaking research on Down syndrome and eventually became chairman of the medical genetics division in the pediatrics department of UC San Francisco and did not have any known enemies. Given that my family was about to move across country when the attack happened, a coincidence of bad timing, red flags shot up regarding my dad.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Later.
Yeah, gotta go.
From what I've been told, the FBI surveilled our house and brought my dad in for questioning. However, after taking essentially one look at my sweet, goofy dad, whose doppelganger is Larry David, and then it says, seriously, people have asked him for signatures before.
Signatures, not autographs. Yeah. So it's like, hey, can you just finish this document for me?
Right. Can you sign this check? They immediately realized this could not be their guy. As we now know, the true Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, was turned in by his brother and eventually pleaded guilty to all charges in 1998. Thankfully, Dr. Epstein survived the brutal attack and we moved across country without any problems. My dad and Dr. Epstein stayed in touch for many years until Dr. Epstein's passing in 2011. Stay sexy and don't move across the country after your dad's boss gets mailed a bomb, Corrine.
What? Bad enough to be involved, to know a victim, to so close to something so awful and traumatizing.
Yeah.
But then to also be like, and also maybe you have something to do with it.
Totally.
It's just like you're experiencing every part of that horrible thing.
Yeah. I really love these stories when people write in of like, my dad was, there was like a Ted Bundy one once, remember? Of like, my dad was brought in for questioning for this case or that case. I don't know why. I just like find those fascinating.
Well, I know because they have to kind of comb through who's around.
Yeah.
You know, get those alibis. I'm not going to read you the subject line of this one. It says, hello, Karen, Georgia, cats, dogs, Steven, and all the MFM team. On a previous mini-sode, you asked, who would volunteer to be a part of a police lineup? The answer is my non-murderino mother. In the 1980s, my mom was working in central London near Victoria Station, where the transport police are based. Every so often, the police would come into her office and ask for volunteers to be in a police lineup. I imagine with her 80s perm and glasses that she looked like the average woman of the time. And since she apparently had nothing better to do on her lunch break, she would always volunteer. She would come to the station, be put in the room with other women. And
hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye. A lawyer would come in and choose people to leave. Occasionally, this would be my mom. Then when they had enough people, she would have her picture taken and taken into a room and do the lineup. My mom said that she knew who the suspect was, but not the crime. Since it was the London Transport Police, they were probably pickpockets or drunken passengers. At the end, they would be paid £5, and then in parentheses it says, about £20 in today's money, and never hear about it again. Then again, like I said, she's a non-murderino. She did this like 5 or 6 times while at that job. My mom first mentioned this when she was doing a 2 truths and 1 lie thing at her work and was trying to come up with ideas at home. Not wanting to be outdone, my dad chimed in, "Well, I made LSD for the police." While my mom was doing police lineups, my dad was a PhD chemistry student at Greenwich University. And then in parentheses, it says, pronounced Greenwich. Thank you. He was asked by the Met Police to make pure LSD to be used and tested in different concentrations to help perfect its detection in street samples. He was apparently so good at making LSD, the police told him it was the best LSD they'd ever come across. My dad is very proud. Oh, and he also volunteered to be in a police lineup. I don't know whether it was drug related. He and his friend were asked to come in wearing black boots. However, when the suspect came in, he was wearing sandals. My dad and his friend had to remove their boots, and my dad's friend was very embarrassed because there were several holes in his socks. You'll be pleased to hear my parents are both law-abiding citizens and with absolutely no interest in true crime. When I told my mom I was going to write in this story, her only response was, "Why would anybody be interested in that?" We don't know.
We don't know. We know. There's something wrong with us, okay?
We wish we knew. But there's a lot of us.
Yeah.
Stay sexy and volunteer to help the police with new socks on, Sophie.
I guess it'd be okay to volunteer for a police lineup when it's like they know you and they know for a fact it wasn't you. So even if the victim picks you or whatever, they're like, you're wrong. Not like, oh, maybe Sue did do it, you know?
Yes. I think that was the flaw in our thinking was that they would be pulling a bunch of random people where it's like, no, obviously they're going to pick people they know aren't criminals.
Yeah, they don't go to a bar and like, can we get 5 guys? Or maybe they do.
It turns out we got a bunch of people that are guilty of things.
Of something. Okay, this one's called Rowing Hometown Story. Hi, besties. I've been listening and a huge fan since I was 16 and haven't written this in. What can I say? I'm lazy. There's no way you've asked for it, but here we go. I just graduated from college as a Division I rower. Then it says brag.
Big brag.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. I rode all through high school in Camden, New Jersey, which is one of the nation's murder capitals, exclamation mark. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, we would find machetes or needles floating by during practice. We once found a trash bag of severed chicken heads. Oh. But this story is the most disturbing thing I encountered. A few other girls and I were out on the water one morning in singles, meaning we were each in our own boats. I spotted something sticking out of the water up ahead, and because rowing over a log can damage your boat, I yelled out to the girls following me. This is how our conversation went. "Watch out for the log," as we row closer. "Holy shit, that's a huge log," and closer. "Oh my God, that's a car." Some of us were giggling and yelling to our coach about how crazy it was to find a car submerged in the water until all the laughing stopped. You guys, there are people in there.
No.
Yep. It says yep. We had spent our early Saturday morning practice rowing right over bodies submerged in a car that had evidently driven into the river the night before.
Oh, God.
It wasn't a very deep river, so we could see right through the windshield and the occupants in the car. That's like fucking lifelong trauma, I feel like.
Entirely. And what a horrible way to die. That's like...
Oh my God, my worst nightmare. After that, we all hightailed it back to the dock and watched as helicopters and police boats swarmed the area. I couldn't find any articles about the incident, but I think it's safe to assume no one walked out of there. Anyway, it couldn't have traumatized me that much because I went on to row on the Ohio River in Louisville, which is arguably murderier. I love the podcast and the whole team. One day, I hope to get enough information out of my dad about his time accidentally being an accountant for a huge pyramid scheme to write in. I know, right? You'll be the first to know when I do. Stay sexy and go Cards, Maddie. I'm assuming Cards is a college reference.
The Camden Cards, maybe?
Oh, that makes sense. Maddie.
Maddie. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
I'm sorrier that happened to the people in the car.
Totally.
We used to drive home from college through like Vallejo. And I don't know if you've ever driven that. Uh-huh. I think it's the 37. I can't remember, but
it's really desolate, right? And like,
yes. And there's like basically kind of, I don't know what body of water it is, but mm-hmm. you're just on a two-lane highway with water on either side.
Yeah.
And it's really dark. It's so dark. It's just the other car's lights.
Yeah.
And it goes on for maybe 3 miles. Oh my and I God. Was just like, I would constantly go like, okay, well, if something happens and we go into this water, what do you do? Like roll the window down, take your seatbelt off. Like just the, I just think that's.
I have a seatbelt cutting and glass breaking tool in my car for that very reason.
For the very reason.
Yeah. That is one of my like big fears. And I have this like feeling all these cold cases I'm obsessed with people missing. I feel like at least a quarter of them have to be people who, you know, missed a turn in a rural area. And those dudes on YouTube who are like doing sonar to find the cars that have submerged,
right?
You know, decades ago. I feel like that's an explanation for so many of them.
Yeah, there are things that are just horrible freak accidents that, yeah. And then just suddenly you're just... One wrong turn, something happens, mechanical failure.
Yeah.
It's also fragile.
I know. I have 3 close people in my life who died that way. It's just like...
In cars in water?
One of them was in a flash flood, yeah.
Ugh.
But the other one drove off the road and another one fell asleep at the wheel.
Ugh, horrible.
Ship and drinking. Don't drink and drive, guys.
Oof.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dark. Sorry.
Okay. Let's get ourselves together for more bad stories.
Okay. I have a miracle one to end it, so I think we're okay.
Okay, perfect.
A miracle story.
Okay, this one is a little bit, if you're squeamish, you might not like this story.
Is eyeball stuff happening?
No, it's bone.
Okay, I can do bone. I'm speaking for everyone listening right now. We can do it.
And if I can do bone, they're going to do bone.
We can do bone.
Bad parents and vindictive kids. And then in parentheses, it says, lighthearted, but there's an exposed bone.
That's good warning.
Yep. Hey, my favorite murder ladies. Greetings from Brazil.
Oh.
Hey. We love your carnivals. Longtime listener, but first time writer. Love to you all. But here's the story. In Minisode 324, you wondered what it would take for parents in the 70s and 80s to intervene in their child's lives. laughing at
oh
our
my
own
God.
Joke. Well, this is from the 90s, but I guess Brazil in the 90s was pretty much the U.S. in the 70s. To give you a picture of the times and of me, I used to go to the store and buy my mom cigarettes when I was 4 or 5. I was once chased by an armed guard when I decided to sneak into a closed school with my friends and my cat when I was 11. But the real story happened when I was about 7. After months of asking my mom for a video game, she gave me a bicycle. I was bummed, but I decided to make the best of it. I always found ways to make it a challenge, and the perfect one came after some renovations to our backyard. For some reason, the contractors never got around to disposing of the sand and debris from the construction, so they left it on the very narrow sidewalk in front of our house. What was a nuisance to some was a new dare for me. I found a way to drive down the sidewalk at top speed, go around the pile of debris, and miss the large stone wall of my house. Mm. It was a risky move, but I practiced and perfected it. On this specific day, my mother was doing her nails with one of her friends in the front of the house and ignoring me as usual. Determined to impress them, I took my chance. Everything was going great. I had missed the debris and the wall until one of the tires slipped on the sand. I lost control of the bike and came down hard. When my mother saw me fall, her first instinct was not to help me, but instead she started laughing. Ugh. Mortally embarrassed and angry, imagine my surprise when I saw the blood pooling underneath me. One of the pedals on my bike was broken, and in the fall, it tore open my left knee, making a hole so deep you could see the bone. Yeah. My first thought was, now I got their attention.
That's right.
When my mom saw the blood, she ran over and started crying. I, on the other hand, laughed. I had gotten my revenge. No one laughs at my failure without suffering the consequences. She tried to take me to the hospital for stitches, but I wouldn't let her. Almost 30 years later, I still have the scar, and I tell the story whenever I want to piss off my mom. Stay sexy and don't laugh at your kids. They just might hurt themselves to get the final laugh. Mariana, she, her. How genius is that?
Oh, the laugh. That's so good. I feel like our generation has a lot more humility than younger generations. We got laughed at when we got hurt. There was no like, are you okay?
No.
You know?
My mom, a registered nurse, would be like, oh, stop it. Oh, put some ice on it. Run it under cold water. Where it's like, my sister had a broken wrist one time. And she was like, run it under cold water. And it's like, it's not working.
It's broken.
You're going to have to get up from the table and stop smoking cigarettes for 1 second.
Okay, my last one's called Turkey's Earthquake Miracle. Hey, beautiful hosts and MFM fam. I'm a 17-year-old Egyptian listener.
What?
But I live in Istanbul, Turkey.
This is a person who has seen most of the wonders of the world.
Yeah.
Just, that's in their neighborhood.
Anyway, we all heard about the devastating earthquake that happened in southern Turkey and northern Syria on February 6th. Over 50,000 people are dead and 100,000 injured. Some cities are completely destroyed.
It's horrible.
Yet in the first 2 weeks, we heard a lot of rescuing miracles from under the rubble, like a baby who got out alive after...
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound... means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
200 hours under the rubble. But there's one story that made my chin drop. Rescue teams were leaving a destroyed building after thinking that there was nobody inside and started searching the next one. After a while, an old woman came and told the rescue team that she's sure that her daughters were under the building they had just left and they need to rescue them. The rescue team thought that they should look again. And after a few hours, three girls got out alive from under that building.
Oh.
When one of the rescuers told the girls that their mother came and led them to their place, the girls looked at each other and one of them said, "What are you talking about? Our mother died 4 years ago." Karen's about to cry.
I am crying. Oh my God.
I know. Call it a ghost or an angel. It's definitely an amazing miracle. These are stories that keep us hopeful. Stay sexy and don't forget to prep that earthquake bag. Zara, she, her.
That is unbelievable. I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah.
And here's what I love about it. Like, it's the rescue workers who experienced,
right,
whoever, whatever that was that came.
Yeah.
The mother. It's not the girl saying, "We were told to walk over this way." Mm-hmm. And you could kind of write it all off as like, you were in trauma, mm-hmm. you were whatever.
Yeah.
It's like the rescue workers dealing with.
They had moved on and they came back and searched for hours after that. It's not like they just did a preliminary. I mean, these incredible rescue workers are just heroes.
Amazing. Also, maybe I'm crying. Maybe I was crying just because it's just a mother coming back from the dead. She shows so much concern for her daughters as opposed to the story I just told.
It's kind of the polar opposite of the,
it's a little,
of your
it's
story.
It's a little jealousy, maybe a little like, wow, what must it be like?
Do you have a story that's anything like the ones we just read or completely different? Then please send it to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
We appreciate all of your participation. The idea that we just read emails from listeners in Brazil mm-hmm. and Western Egypt is that lives now in Turkey. Mm-hmm. It's just international.
Wild. So wild.
Pitbull would be so proud of us.
Way to go, guys.
Okay. Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Our producer is Alejandra Keck.
And this episode was engineered and mixed by Stephen Ray Morris.
Stephen! Email your hometowns and fucking hoorays to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
Follow the show on Instagram and Facebook at myfavoritemurder and Twitter at myfavemurder.
Goodbye.
Follow My Favorite Murder on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase My Favorite Murder merch.